Do you believe that this morning? What has God done for you this week that you have to be thankful for? Amen. Just the air that we breathe. To say that we're alive, if nothing else. Amen. Feels good in this place. Going to go straight into scripture for time. Going to try to keep it within my time here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Very short scripture. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Just want to talk to you a little bit on a thought that I had last 2 weeks, and over the weekend talking with some of our men, it was confirmed that this is what I was supposed to go on today, and that is, how's your follow-through? How's your follow-through? Amen. You may be seated. When you look at the word follow-through and the definition of it, it is the act of completing an action or process from start to full completion, from point A to point B. Amen. How many of you ever bowled in your life? I imagine most of us could raise our hand. Played golf, played tennis, baseball, softball. You swung a bat or swung a club, something like that. Though these activities may be quite different in the way they are played, at least one skill is common in every one of them. And the most valuable analogy that we can apply from recreational sports is the concept of the follow-through. The follow-through. Amen. Let's take golf, for example. Brother Hun, if you could, come up. Golf is a sport where follow-through is very, very important. If you do not have the correct follow-through, you will never be able to play this sport to its fullest potential. You have to have a good follow-through. After the contact is made with the ball, the arms continue in a continuous, unbroken motion. If you could demonstrate with this a follow-through of your stroke. You notice he brings that club all the way back, a little bit past 12 o'clock. And then he swings all the way through and comes back all the way to the top. That is a follow-through, going all the way from point A to point B. Now, in golf, as in most sports, baseball also, if he takes that club and does not follow through the whole way, the power that is connected to that ball is not at its full potential. You take some of that power away from it when you do not have the full follow-through. The mental arc of the arm has to be envisioned in the mind to maintained until its conclusion, until the end of your swing. So you have a starting point. You visualize what you want to do, then you begin your swing of striking the ball. But you don't stop when you make connection with that ball. You have to follow through with the motion, with the power, all the way through to completion. If you try to hit that ball and you try to stop your motion right here, it's going to make a difference because you're going to let up on your swing and you're not going to have that power following through. You have to go the whole way. Amen. You want the full effect of your strength and power to be transferred in that moment to that ball. You want to be able to stand back and look and like, yes, that is exactly what I wanted to do. That is what I visualized. That is what I wanted. And not standing back and saying, you know what, I probably should have followed through and go as far as I wanted it to go. And now you're regretting your actions because you didn't follow through with that full swing. You have to complete your swing from start to finish and follow through. Amen. If you only swing three quarters of the way, you're only going to get three quarters of the power. If you only swing halfway, you're only going to get half of the power. It makes a difference how much you give. How much you give is how much you get back. Amen. You're shortchanging yourself if you don't follow through. You're not giving it everything you've got at the end of your game. When you get your scorecard, the results of your actions will be reflected on your scorecard. It makes a difference. I see some of the women, you're not connecting with me. I apologize. Just stay with me. I'll get you. I'll get you on board. But the lack of your follow-through, if I want a good scorecard, if I want a good game, I have to make sure I have a full follow-through. It's so important. It's so important. See, there's no cheating or cutting corners with your follow-through. No cheating or cutting corners. You either do it or you don't. You either make the decision to go all the way or go part way. But the decision is in your hands. It's up to you on what you do and how far you take it. If you stop short of your full potential, that's just what it is. You're going to be short of your full potential. It's in your hands. So let me connect this morning to church and the Bible and where I'm going. The first thing I want to look at that deals with follow-through is our worship. Our worship this morning. I need God this morning. I imagine some of you also need God this morning. You come into this place with the purpose that I need something from God today. I need a fresh touch from Him today. I imagine that some of your attitudes also, you need a fresh touch from God today. So when I come into this house, it's up to me on how I leave this place. I can come into this place one way with my burdens, with my troubles, with all the things that I walked in here with, and I can make the decision to leave here the same way I came, if that's my choice. Not yours, but my choice. I can make that choice for myself. I don't need no help messing things up. I can do it perfectly fine myself. Amen? Amen. But it's up to me how I leave. David gives us a great example of how we can come into the house of the Lord. This is a great follow-through swing when you look at it in that concept. Psalms 100, 1 through 5 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Not some of you, not this tribe, not this person sitting in this section or over in this section. But it says, everyone, all ye lands, make a joyful noise. Life may be great. Life may be terrible. I don't know where you're at this morning, but whatever the noise is that proceeds out of your mouth, let it be joyful. Let it be joyful. We can come into this place and grumble and complain, and we can just tear down somebody that's next to us and say, oh, God didn't do this for me this week and didn't do that for me this week. Or we can come into this place and just have a joyful noise and say, it doesn't matter what is going on and what I've been through, I'm still going to praise Him anyhow. I'm still going to give Him a shout anyhow, whatever the noise may be. Maybe you can't even speak because He says a noise. He doesn't say words. He says just make a joyful noise. So maybe all you can do is just make a, oh, yeah. Make a joyful noise. Make sure it's joyful. Put some joy behind it. Amen. Says, he goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. But I don't have anything to be glad about. I just see some of your faces just went white. I just read your mind. I don't have anything to be glad about. Look what's going on in my life. Look what I'm facing. Where can I find gladness in this? Well, be glad in the little things. You're still alive this morning. You're still breathing fresh air this morning. You're able to get out of bed on your own two feet and walk. Amen. He's able to come into the house of the Lord with freedom to worship. Freedom to lift your hands without the penalty of death hanging over your head. It's something to be thankful about. It's something to shout about. You look at the world, there's people that they give their lives for the opportunity just to hold a Bible. And here we are, we just got them strewn about everywhere to just something, just a fixture of decoration now in most houses. Be thankful for what you have. Still have a roof over your head and shoes on your feet. Amen. If nothing else, be thankful that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. that you've been baptized in his name. The Bible says that your name is written in the book of life. Something to be thankful about. Amen. It goes on, come before his presence with singing. Amen. And then now I look at this, and David, he gives us what I think is an example of a great praise and worship song. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a great praise and worship song right there. It doesn't matter what the world thinks, what the world is doing. We're not the world's. We're his sheep. We're of his pasture. Amen. So we can come into this place and we can sing and we can shout. And we've already done that this morning. And we're going to do it some more after I get done. But we can sing and shout with freedom and with liberty and sing the praises of God. It's follow through in our lives. Follow through in our worship. Amen. Amen. Then he instructs us further, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. This wasn't a suggestion. This wasn't a, well, if you feel like or if you want to. If you're coming into the house of the Lord, you come into the gates with thanksgiving. You come into his courts with praise. Amen. You come into this place with worship. Thankful unto him, blessing his name. Amen. 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 It's worship upon us. A mandate of worship. That's why I may not feel like it. I may not feel like it. I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm always transparent. When I'm up here, I don't feel good today. I'm sick. I tried to eat this morning, and I almost threw up everywhere. I don't feel good. I don't feel like it this morning, but I'm still coming to the house of the Lord, and I'm still worshiping, and I'm still going to give him praise, because the world ain't going to heal me. God's going to heal me. The world ain't going to touch me. God's going to touch me. Amen. So it may be a situation where all hell is coming against you. Your job may be coming against you. Maybe your wife or your husband's coming against you. Hey, get them into the house of God and praise his name. Let God work it out in your worship. Amen. Hallelujah. I always love it when people, they come and they talk about the doctor. Well, the doctor said this. The doctor gave me this report. It doesn't look good. Well, let me tell you what the real doctor says. The real doctor says, cast your burdens upon me. The real doctor says, there's nothing too impossible for me. Amen. That's the real doctor, Dr. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5, this is what I like, says, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Before I was here and after I'm gone, it's still going to be here. After I'm long gone, after my kids are gone, God's word is still going to stand true. His power is still going to stand strong. It doesn't matter, and it's to all generations. To all generations. I've had some of the elders that are not where they need to be complaining about, oh, this youth, this generation, it's not the same. No, God's still the same. God's still the same. God's still the same. And I've heard some of the young people the same way. Oh, you look at the past generation, man, they didn't have God like this. Yeah, they did. God was still the same then. It's to all generations. God is going to be the same. Amen. So if I come in here and I only give God half of a praise or three quarters of a praise, then I'm hindering the results of my own outcome on what I am going to get from God. I said it many times, God is a gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. It's up to you on what you want. You're going to get from God how much you give. If you want a lot of God, you need to give a lot to God. If you just want a little of God, just give a little to God. Amen? So if you just want a little God, just give a little swing. But see, I don't want just half a blessing. I want a whole blessing. I don't want just a little touch from the Lord. I want a whole touch. Amen. I like how the Bible says, when it talks about the different people that were healed, some were healed. Some were touched. Some were healed. But then others, they took the extra step and they were made whole. They were made whole. Not just healed. You got to look at the lepers, the story in there. They were healed, yet the leprosy cleared up. But then you had the one that came back that was made whole. He wasn't just healed, but that finger started to grow back. That ear started to rematerialize on him. That toe that was gone for so many years started to grow back. He was made whole. That's what I pray all the time when I pray for people, when I pray for myself. God, don't just heal them. Don't just heal me, but make them whole. Make them what they was before everything happened. Restore them more than what they had when they got sick. Make them stronger. Make them better. Make them whole. Amen. So your follow through. I want a good follow through in my praise and in my worship. Amen. I was like this. I wanted to touch him from. I wanted to touch me from my head to my toes, touching every part of my body, my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit, my hands, my feet. Yeah, I like the song that we used to sing, and I think we sang it here before. It says, "He's all over me, and He's keeping me alive." He's all over me and He's keeping me alive. Says He's on my right, on my left, in front and back, underneath, over me. He's living down inside. Yeah. That's worship right there. Amen. I want God all over me, not just a piece, not just a little touch, but I want God to touch me all over. When I come into this place, I say, God, whatever you have for me, just pour it on me. I want everything you have, not just a little. I want to take advantage of this. Amen. This is an opportunity for us to be blessed. Not just to come in here and hear a good word, to sing some good songs, but no, we had the opportunity to come into the presence of the King of Kings, to stand before Him with our worship and petition Him with our needs. But it's up to you. It's up to you on how much you follow through on that. So unless we make up in our mind and give Him everything we have in worship, we're not going to experience the full potential of His power and His grace. I'm going to end up leaving here the same way I came, hurt, shameful, with problems, the same things that I walked in here with. Leaving here the same way. If you come into this house and you leave the same way, why did you come? I'm just being honest. Why did you even make the effort to come if you're not going to do something when you're in the presence of the King? Just being real with you this morning. You're already here, so you might as well get something from God today. You've already made the decision to step into this house, to come into the house of the Lord. You might as well make the best of it and follow through and give God everything you have today, because it may be your last. This may be your only opportunity, so why not give God your praise today, right now in this place? Amen. We have to follow through with our worship. Hallelujah. From all the way, point A to point B. The second thing with follow through is our decisions and commitments. Decisions and commitments. This is also part of worship. It's a different part of worship. You're worshiping with your commitments, with the decisions you make. Part of follow-through for Christians is counting the cost. Counting the cost. Luke 14 states 28 through 30, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" He's saying the smart thing to do before you make a decision is to think about it first. Have a plan before you start it. Know what might work and what might not work. What is the right thing to do and what are the consequences if you do the wrong thing? It goes on to say, "Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man begun to build and was not able to finish it." He could not follow through. He could not follow through on what he planned to do. All because he did not first sit down and think about what he was going to do, how he was going to do it, and the consequences of what he was going to do. How bad would it be for us to come into this place or just live our life in general with no plan? With no plan on what we're going to do next. on what we want for our life, on what we want for our family, for our children, and never have a plan just to see it blow up in our face because we did not have the follow through to do it the correct way the first time. I tell my daughter all the time, she's only 8 years old, but we ingrain in her constantly, do it right the first time. If you're going to do it right the first time. Do it to the best of your ability. It's so important. Your decisions, your commitment. See, the time for wavering and questioning is before we make the decision. Not after. Not when you're in the middle of it. You don't want to be in the middle of a hurricane thinking, man, I should have looked at the weather report before I got on the boat. It's a little bit late. People have done it. I've read the stories. You have to follow through on your commitments. What promises have you made to God, and are you following through with them? What promises have you made to God? If you're serving in any capacity of the church, what promises have you made to your pastor? Getting personal now. What commitments have you made to this church to serve in any capacity? Oh, pastor, you can count on me. You can count on me, pastor. I will be here. And you show up rolling up in the church 15, 20 minutes late, like we're waiting on you. Got real quiet in here. Sister Christy, wherever you are, you're welcome for your greeters. Since the fall of Adam, we have had a problem with commitment. We've had a problem with commitment. Mankind has always struggled with commitment, with the decisions that we make. But it is embedded in our flesh, the problem with commitment, the problem with following through. Amen? Anybody know somebody that's not reliable? Has anybody ever broken your trust because they didn't follow through with what they promised you they would do? They still owe you money from 5 years ago? They still ain't brought your tools back that they borrowed a year ago. See, we all can testify now. We're all on board. Amen? So Paul, he said it best, Romans 7 and 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That flesh, his commitment. Paul's admitting, hey, I even have problems. I even struggle with commitment. I struggle with doing the right thing. And let me clarify, Paul is not saying in any way here that it's okay to keep doing it. Because it's not. If you have a problem with following through with commitment, you need to get it fixed. You need to have an appointment with Dr. Jesus. Get it checked out. Because he goes on to say, he's like, I have a problem. I deal with things. I struggle with things. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians, he says, I die daily. Yeah. So how do I correct my problems? How do I correct the things that I deal with? Well, daily I have to come before the cross and I have to die. Daily I have to give myself to Jesus, say, God, refill me today, refresh me today, give me a new touch today, because I can't be like I was yesterday, God. I don't want to make the mistakes that I made yesterday, but touch me today again. Let me die out to myself again today. Hallelujah. That flesh continually tries to get in our way. Amen. Every day when I'm driving, my flesh tries to get in the way. Someone pulls out in front of me. Oh, Jesus. Someone comes in my lane and runs me off into the median. It's happened twice in the last month. Oh, Jesus. God, help me, my flesh. Because my first response is, I don't care about what the insurance is going to be. I'm going to... You want to hit me? Go ahead. Let's make it good. My flesh. I got to die daily. See, let me explain a little bit. I used to be a cop, and I could write tickets all the time, and it felt good. When people did stupid stuff, I could write them a ticket for it. Now when I see it, and they do stupid stuff, and it's also almost hitting me, I can't do nothing about it. So I struggle. I struggle. Pray for me, people. Pray for me. Amen. I die daily. I die daily. Hallelujah. You see, our society has a deplorable philosophy about commitment and follow-through. with more than 60% of new marriages failing, amen, within the first 5 years. Young people, they try on marriage partners like a pair of shoes. If it doesn't fit and it doesn't feel good, instead of trying to break it in and work it out, they just trade them in for a new pair. That's reality. That's the world we live in. Suicides are higher than they have ever been because people can't live with the consequences and the decisions and commitments that they have made. They can't live with it, so they commit suicide. Abortions have killed more than previous wars in our history because someone didn't want to follow through with their decisions. How important is decisions in our life? The consequences, our commitments. See, people, teenagers especially, they don't realize how important commitment is. How their decisions will affect the rest of their life. Because all they see in the world, all the example they see in this world is, oh, it's okay if you make a mistake, someone else can deal with it. You don't have to. You can just trade them in, do whatever, move away, give it all back, just start over. Consequences. Dibar Appertain in 1966 wrote an article titled "The Point of No Return." The Point of No Return. He writes in an article, "Once the distance ahead is shorter than the already traveled distance of a plane, the plane can no longer turn back to its starting point. However serious the mechanical difficulties may be, it can no longer turn back. If it's already reached the point of no return, it's halfway, over halfway into its journey." He's saying there comes a point in life where you have reached the point of no return. You've reached the point in your journey, in your decision making, in your commitments of your life, where there is a point of no return. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the consequences of your actions, regardless of your choices that you have made, you have to live with them. You have to live with them. And you may have walked into this place this morning feeling like there's no hope in your life. There's only darkness everywhere you see, everywhere you look in your family. You question, can God really forgive me? After everything that I have done, all the wrong I have committed, all the hurt, all the pain I have done to people in my life, can God really forgive me? Will He even forgive me? While I understand Dibar is trying to make a point that there is no changing what has happened. You have to reap what you sow. You have to lay in the bed that you made. While I understand what I should go through, and while I understand what I deserve, what my punishment should be, I also understand the word of the Lord. In Romans 5 and 20 says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Not just grace abounded. Not just grace was there. Not that it showed up afterwards, but grace did much more. Much more than my sin. Much more than my problems. Much more than the things that I'm facing that is staring me down. But above all that, it abounded above it. That's the love of God. That's the grace and mercy of God right there. He says, it doesn't matter what you're going through, but if you'll just give it to me, I will forgive you. My grace is sufficient. My grace is greater than anything you're facing. But yet we come in here and we hold it and we try to bear it on our shoulders alone, and it's too heavy for us to do. My God, give it to Jesus. Give it to God and let His grace bear it for you. Amen? It says, "That as sin hath reigned unto death," because that's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. "Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ." His grace is bigger than anything that you may face and that you have. And His grace is sufficient, that is here now and is going to be here from now to eternity. So even if you're doing good today, but tomorrow or 10 years or 20 years from now, if you have a step up and you trip up and you just mess up, His grace is still going to be there, and His grace is still going to be greater. It's still going to be greater in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, we cannot go back and land at our destination. He was right in the statement where there is a point of no return. Because you have to deal with what's there. It happened. You can't change it. It's there. It's written. But the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus, it wipes it all away. The devil comes back and tries to throw it in your face. Well, look what happened back here. Remember that? No, I don't remember that, devil, because the blood of Jesus, when I got baptized, when I was filled with the Spirit, it just wiped it all away. All I see is blood. All I see is a crimson stream wrapping around me because the blood of Jesus has forgiven me. It has washed my sins away. Hallelujah. We can't reverse time, but God can heal it. God can change your future. God can change what is ahead of us in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to allow the Holy Ghost to move in our life. We have to have a complete follow through of His Spirit in our life. Hallelujah. Paul said in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. Amen. You may have messed up, tripped up, you've fallen every which way but up, but that which God began in you, the plan that he has for your life, the follow through of your praise and worship will see it through. It will see it through. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God has a plan for you. And if you will come into this house and submit yourself to God, give Him praise, give Him worship, and just give your life to Him, God can take your plan and He can see it through to the end, that which He began. Hallelujah. How many of you want to see God work out some things in your life? Those dreams you thought were gone. A ministry you thought would never happen again. God says, that which I begun, I can finish. I can finish it in your life. Hallelujah. But you got to allow God to follow through in your life. Hallelujah. So the grace and mercy of God can touch your situation. And you can leave here changed today. You can leave here changed today. But that is up to you. That is up to you. See, God has already envisioned the swing of your life. He's already envisioned what your life is supposed to be. He's looked at the ball, at the plan that He has set before you. And He sees how you're supposed to make your swing. And He sees where your swing is supposed to end. But we can get in the way sometimes of God and say, oh, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that far. That cost is too high. I don't want to pay that cost. I don't want to make that decision there because it's going to affect my decision here. And we don't get that full follow through. We just get a little chip shot. We just go a little bit of 3/4 of the way or halfway. We don't make our full swing in our life because God, I can't do that. Maybe it's because we come into this house many times and I want to worship, I want to praise, I want to lift my hands, I want to run the aisles like Brother Taylor does. I want to make that full swing, but oh, somebody's watching me. Oh, so I can't do that. Just a little swing, just a putt. Can't do it. Can't do it. We come into the house, oh God, I'm going to worship today like I've never worshiped before. God, I'm going to give you everything I have today because you are worthy of it because I know what you did yesterday. God, you healed me this last week. You healed my family member. God, you paid my bill and I didn't know how I was going to get it paid right there. So, God, I'm going to follow through today and I'm going to do it. And the devil just throws in your face, oh, remember what you did yesterday? No, I can't follow through. Can't make that full swing. We just stop short. We mess it up in our lives. The biggest problem we deal with is not the devil, it's us. It's us. We say, oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. My life is horrible because of what the devil's doing. No, it ain't the devil, it's you and your decisions. You just got to man up to it, own up to it and say, yep, I made a mistake. I guess I got to correct it myself, me and God. Amen. We got to come into this place and we got to follow through. Don't swing just halfway. Don't just give three quarters of a praise when we come into this house. You've already made the decision to be here. Why not give God everything you have? Why not worship of Him like this might be your last opportunity? Why not worship of Him like this may be the last time you can tell Him thank you? Just one more opportunity, just one more opportunity. If we took our praise and worship in our hands and only swung the way that we feel in our bodies sometimes, we're never going to see the full potential of God's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. We got to follow through with our praise and our worship. So let me tell you what will happen when we follow through here. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 again. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Your end, your beginning, they are two separate points. But your end can be greatly better than your beginning. Scripture says that your latter will be greater, it proclaims. There's a lot more that goes with it. There's some things we have to do, praise and worship, commitment, honoring God. But these are some of the promises that God has set before us right here. Your latter will be greater. But we have to follow through. Amen? Here's some of the other ones here. Stand with me. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind. That means all your belongings, all your life, the things you have. God is going to bless every area of your life. Thy flocks of thy sheep. Blessed will be the basket in store. Blessed when thou comest in, and blessed when thou goest out. Amen. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talking about commitment and dedication and worship and follow through. Are you ready to follow through on some of your commitments today? Are you ready to come before God today and say, God, I'm going to worship you like it's my last time. Because God, I understand that no one can change me like you. God, no one can heal me today like you. No one can touch my marriage. No one can touch my body. No one can touch my job like you, Jesus. So I'm not going to worship the world. I'm not going to go dance in the world. I'm going to come dance before you in your presence. I'm going to come and lift my hands and worship before you today in your presence, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just give him a praise right now. God, I give you praise. I give you honor, Lord. God, it's you alone that is worthy, God. Your name.